Purple Line is a community podcast, bringing you in-depth conversations with diverse leaders in the public and private sectors. Whether you're a student looking to gather advice or a professional tuning in for valuable resources, our dynamic programming provides inspiration and insights for all ages and backgrounds. I'm Marianne Gomez-Horta, your host of the Purple Line podcast and the CEO of the Congressional Hispanic Leadership Institute. Welcome.
So nice to see you here, Dr. Elena Rios. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
I've always been a fan, and so I'm really excited that I'm sitting here next to you. The president of the National Hispanic Health Foundation. So please start off by telling us a little bit about the foundation that you started and a little bit of your journey there. Now, I know there's like been, you know, paths here and there, whatever, but let's just kind of get that started for the audience.
Well, the National Hispanic Health Foundation was actually started along with the National Hispanic Medical Association.
And
it originally was the NHMA Foundation back in 1994. And about, I don't know, a few years later, we thought, you know, we need to have a project for the foundation, and we decided to build a scholarship program for Latino students in different professions.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Beyond medicine. And we give scholarships for the last 20 years to medical students, nursing, dentistry, pharmacy, PAs, and public health.
Wow. So how many people have you helped now through all these years?
It's almost 500 students.
Wow. That's awesome.
And a couple.
So if I need a doctor or a pharmacist, is there like a number I just dial and go, hey, are you one of the scholarship recipients? Can you help me?
Yes, yes. And not only that, but we got all these organizations. We give them the database for their membership.
Wow.
And they review the applications for us.
That is awesome.
And we have, and it gets better. We've decided to build a scholarship so that we could have a mentoring program. And each of these organizations have provided mentors.
So is mentoring important in the medical field? I mean, like, we talk about it in general.
Oh,
like,
it's so important.
You need a mentor, you need a sponsor. But to be honest with you, I didn't think you needed a mentor in medical fields.
Well, I think that what happens as a student from a Latino family.
True.
Whose parents know nothing about college.
Yeah.
And think
you should get married or start working. Yeah. Yeah.
You need somebody to tell you, to be a guide, that if I can do it, you can do it too, despite your parents.
Yeah.
Or despite the advisors that tell you you'll never make it to medical dental school.
Right.
That's the kind of mentoring. And we found out in our mentoring that the students really like to have someone that's right ahead of them, who can tell them, this is how I passed that exam. This is how much I had to study. And then the mentoring that we also provide really is the role models from the, if you're a nursing student, a nurse who can tell you these are the options in different types of careers in 2025. You know, it's
amazing.
It can be faculty, it can be, you know, clinical work.
Right. There's all different facets in the medical field.
It can be consulting, you know, so industry.
Wow. Now, using that expertise, and obviously, you know, a lot of us give back and help others based on what we had growing up and what we didn't have growing up. So take us to Elena before she was, you know, the big doctor over here and running a foundation, of how you got started with that. And I think there's an interesting story that the audience would appreciate.
Well, I just, in a nutshell, I was the oldest of five. I am the oldest of five. And my parents coming from Los Angeles, my grandparents coming from Mexico. I think every generation wants to be a little better than than their parents. My mother finished high school, Catholic Girls High School, Sacred Heart of Jesus in Los Angeles. My father had to
Did you have to
out.
Go to the same school?
No, I went to Sacred Heart of Mary.
Oh, sounds like a little rivalry.
The Mexican Americans in the northern Los Angeles, when they got to buy their houses in the 1950s,
okay, we're moving on up.
Moved to the outside of East LA.
Okay.
So
that's funny.
We
I
grew
love
up
it.
In Pico Rivera, right next to the railroad tracks.
Oh,
but
my goodness.
Pico Rivera was white and Mexican, with a few Mexican families that were what we considered middle class. We didn't know we were poor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't
really
know.
No,
yeah.
And
I didn't know for a long time either.
my dad, just how I got started, my dad had to drop out of high school, Lincoln High School, when he was 17 because his family worked on the railroads and they lived in the railroad housing where the river is by the downtown of Los Angeles between Boyle Heights and downtown.
Wow.
The railroads housed people, the workers.
Right.
And the White Memorial Hospital was their hospital, the railroad hospital.
Mm.
And anyway, to jump forward to the 1950s, my dad worked. My mother was a secretary for the chief of police.
Ooh.
And she had to stop working when the first three girls started getting chicken pox and measles and all these other little problems of growing up.
Yeah.
And I guess she felt bad and decided she should stay home.
Oh, okay.
But she always had that itch to go back to becoming what she wanted to do in her dreams. And the other thing I know I have to mention is that I got inundated with the idea that you were civically minded.
Mm-hmm.
We had voting at our house.
Voting at your house. What does that mean?
People that were Democrat, Republican, Independent, that voted in any election,
yeah,
used to vote in people's homes.
Huh.
And
so this is different than, like, I have a block of voters because all my family, that's kind of like sometimes I know I have some relatives.
This is
like
the whole neighborhood would come to vote at that.
So you were like the voting place.
Yes.
Wow.
And my mother was in charge of the voting and would have to give everything back to the, you know, hall of administration. And we'd drive down there and take the big old box.
That's hardcore civic minded. Wow. You're like, you're collecting people's votes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. You sure your mom didn't like have a persuasion here when she was doing all this?
No.
No. Okay.
In fact, let me just say, just mention, we moved after my little brother got into high school.
Okay.
They wanted to, you know, have him be out of the hood.
Okay.
And move to a nice,
get him out of trouble just in case.
We moved to East Whittier and we still had voting at our house. We were the first Mexican and Democrat family. In a house, in a neighborhood of Republicans.
That is amazing.
And I got to work on that because I was already in college or after college. So I got to work in that one.
Okay. Well, we'll have to keep this audio and video. So when you're writing your book, you have to incorporate all of this stuff because this is awesome.
Yeah,
this is awesome. Yeah. So, but I remember there was some experience that about like volunteering in a hospital or something like that.
So my mother actually went back to work after having the five kids and, you know, and she started working in a little hospital there, Beverly Hospital.
Okay.
And when I was in high school, she asked if I, you know, wanted to jump into the hospital world. And oh, by the way, at our home, she would have parties for all the doctors and nurses and orderlies at our home.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
So, you know, and my dad loved it. And anyway, so I said, okay. So I was a candy striper.
Okay, you got to explain candy striper because I think there's some people that are listening to and going, what did she do? Because I don't know that we still use that titles now.
I used to wear these pink and white candy striper outfits and they were volunteers.
Do you have a picture of you in one of those uniforms?
I don't.
No? I'm sure there's got to be some pictures. There's got to be somewhere. Yeah, but we got to find that.
I was in high school and I may have done it for less than a year because she was smart enough to find it. Paying job, and I became a messenger my senior year in high school.
Wow. And the hospital?
In the hospital. I was, so the candy stripers were volunteer. The messenger was actually paid.
Paid.
The same kind of thing. Go deliver flowers to the sick people's, you know, room and, you know, take messages or mail to the different wards. You know, and I had a little thing.
You have a little cart?
A little cart that I used to drive.
Do you have a little bell or something or anything like that? You know, I'm just like fascinated by this. This is so cool.
But it was my senior year in high school. And so, you know, when it came to time to applying to college, I thought, well, I guess I'm going to be pre-med. I mean, it was just natural.
Did your mom want to be a nurse or a doctor?
My mother
went
back to being a secretary at the wards. And,
and
she was really good at what she did. And she became the nursing secretary for the whole hospital.
Wow.
And then everybody convinced her to go to college. So she went to Rio Hondo Community College at night. And here's a story. I was 18 when I started college.
Yeah.
At Stanford University. I finished in 4 years, but we graduated the same week. where she got her AA in nursing, and I got my BA in human biology.
Wow, the whole family just had one big graduation party for like a week.
I missed her graduation, but they all came up in their little Volkswagen Bug, you know. Yeah, so my mother really helped with encouraging me to do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were little, and, you know, just to mention the importance of a mother-daughter relationship, I was the oldest, so I think I was the one that was most protected.
Right.
You're not gonna date till you're 17. You're not gonna blah, 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 blah. Okay, well. But anyway,
and how many, do you have other sisters too?
I have three sisters.
Three sisters, and then?
Two of them got married, kids. The other one's living with her wife and my little brother.
I never realized this. We have the same exact, I'm the eldest of five. I have three sisters and then the brother.
Yeah.
At the very end, the baby.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I know we didn't have, so, you know, I don't know about you, but I tell my sisters every now and then something comes up and they start talking about different, I'm like, hey. The only reason you got to do all these things, remember, was because, you know, I didn't get to do that. And I was good. So that, you're welcome.
Well, right. The other, I'll just say this about being the oldest, is I got blamed for everything.
Oh, I hated that too.
Somebody got hit or something fell off a tree. I was the one in the corner looking.
Your
at
mother
the
and my mother went to the same parenting school.
Yes.
For sure.
And then the belt that my dad used.
That's a whole nother lecture.
God.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
Anyway, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, part of it too is that, you know, you've seen and you talked about all the people that you've mentored, your foundation has mentored, and you personally, you know, through the years. Obviously, with the Congressional Hispanic Leadership Institute, that's an important part of the mentoring, the sponsoring, and really looking at, you know, how people helped us and then how we, you know, pass that on. So what's some of the advice that you give students now, whether they're medical students or not, like what's some of the advice that you give them? Yeah.
Well, there's really three buckets, I think,
okay,
to us progressing in from the Latino families. One is the professionalism and how to be, how to say no to your boyfriend, girlfriends, families, and how you need to have time management. So that professionalism or personal development. The second one really is about your academics and how important it is to know what you have to study. Be prepared for exams. You don't cram at the end.
Mm.
I learned the hard way.
So did I.
Yeah, you know, you really do need to pace yourself and set aside time for, personal time, receptions, whatever, parties. But how you have to study, you know, everything builds on itself. You can't cram to pass an exam.
Yeah. It's also kind of a model for life, right? We have to pace different things. Yeah.
And the third thing is really financing, because we never knew how poor we were, and you don't realize how much money it takes to buy books or graduation. All these little expenses. And I worked every year in college. In addition to my loans I had a scholarship pretty much through the Stanford, but I did have to do work study. But I had to, and I worked a couple of months at a department store doing little odds and ends just to get that extra money. And then you don't learn about you have to take out loans.
I
can't be afraid of the student loans because they're such low interest compared to
loans
and
everybody's
credit cards.
Had at some point. Yeah.
But that's what we have to pass on, because our families, you know, who don't come from money, they don't know anything about financial aid or loans or scholarships.
Right.
So we try to have resources available for the next generation.
What have you found that has been challenging in being a national advocate for Latino families? Like, I know sometimes, you know, even with Chile or other leaders, sometimes it gets a little lonely, sometimes it's a little frustrating. So what's been kind of your, you know, with in working in that space from a national advocacy standpoint?
Well, I think from a national advocacy, it depends on if you're talking about advocating for the students to get into these schools or advocating for policies to be changed so that it could be easier for our schools, let's say the Hispanic serving institutions, to have better support. So I've kind of done both, being a speaker at different conferences where you get to talk to parents or talk to the students themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the biggest challenge is for them to realize that they're not alone. Usually Important. They're the first time yeah. in their families to actually get into pre-med classes or pre-nursing classes, and they have no idea what the exam is to get into medical school or how to prepare for an interview to go to medical school.
Oh, wow.
Their eyes light up when they realize that the people that we have as speakers for them come from the same hometowns.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the admissions.
Probably had a similar
the Latino
experience.
Admissions people in the medical schools that we know are from our, we all have the same journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps. That's why the networking and the connections are so important.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And we tell students as well that, we have this 15-week internship program in Washington, D.C. in the mm-hmm. spring and the fall. And we tell them it's a 15-week job interview, basically, because people here are going to be listening to you, are going to be coaching you, mentoring you, and you also get to interact. And so that network is really important as well. Yeah. How important is that network for the students you work with?
Oh, very important, because you have to learn not only about your academic disciplines, but you have to learn, well, what's in the future? You know, what kind of opportunities are there for somebody that became a pharmacist
mm-hmm.
or somebody that became a doctor? And people don't realize that you have to, you kind of shape your future based on what you like. What's passionate about you?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or what are you passionate about?
Yeah.
So I think that's why it's important to be involved with programs that can help you meet people that can share their stories and help you shape your future.
Yeah.
And we've done that with our leadership programs.
That's awesome. Two questions to wrap up here. One is in regards to, working with students and looking at the future. If someone comes to you and says, I really want to get in the medical field, but what's hot right now? Like, where are people needed the most? What should I study? What are some areas you think would be of key that we need more Latinos in right now in the medical fields?
Well, I think we need Latinos everywhere.
Love that.
I think that's true. It's true. But right now, I think what's most important is just being able to understand that once you become a doctor, you become a magnet for other Latino families.
Oh, wow.
Because only 6% of all the doctors in the country are Hispanic or Latino.
Wow.
So if you want to be in private practice with a group, mm-hmm. let's say nowadays it's so expensive, and you see the consolidation of healthcare institutions. So there
right.
are more
yeah,
hospitals
right.
own the private practices, mm-hmm. or even insurance companies now own the private practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot more doctors are employees, not so much doing all the business. But when you're a clinician and you want to see patients, you're going to see a lot of patients. So you might want to be balanced and say, well, maybe I want to do a little speaking or consulting with another, with the university.
Okay.
And, do something. Or nowadays, there's a whole interest from the pharmaceutical companies on having decentralized clinical trials and not just giving the money to the
big
institutions
yeah.
who always have the same doctors and the same type of patients, not Hispanic, not Black, not Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty, non-diverse. And the only way they were able to get diversity is by taking clinical trial research into community-based clinics or doctor's mm-hmm. offices that are part of health systems.
Yeah.
So there's a real need for doctors, medical students, to think about research in their careers. The other thing is that primary care is really important, just basically talking to patients, because patients and their families really trust
Especially in the Latino community,
from their own
too.
Communities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's probably the most important. But, there's so much debt now. There really is a lot more debt involved in education that so many medical students I've seen the generation change, where so many more are trying to get into specialty care where they can get a higher salary.
Oh, because of the debt as well. Okay.
Because of the debt.
Interesting.
But no matter who the student is and no matter what they want to do, how long they want to stay in school, And I would never recommend anybody to stay in school as long as I did, which was about 20 years.
Okay.
Because I went to graduate school in public health, and then you know, that my career kind of fell apart when it was actually President Reagan, very good president, but he decided that we should have HMOs and not have health planning. And my career was going to be in health planning to see how a community could use resources and share resources, mm-hmm. like big machines and stuff. But anyway, let me get back to the importance of the journey is that there's just so many opportunities in healthcare because you can't outsource the healthcare industry. And it's a very
big part
of our economy.
Very good point.
From
right
cradle to grave, there are different types of doctors and programs and, and there's not only hospitals and clinics, but there's a whole insurance world and pharmaceutical company world.
Yeah.
And I've been involved with all of them because they want Hispanic doctors that understand the community. They are the clients of all these different types of institutions.
Right. And there's obviously the Latino population is just growing, so there's going to be more of us on both. I mean, there's a growing need for more experts to take care of the different families and the different generations as well. So that's key. My last question is from your Stanford days, what was your favorite class and why?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I have to say that I had a minor. I just didn't major in...
Of course not.
Pre-med.
Did you have like three minors or something?
No,
you know,
no,
who
I
knows?
Had one.
Okay.
And it was public administration.
Ah.
And I learned about organizations. And I wouldn't call it a class, but for me it was a learning experience. I joined Mecha.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Mecha at the time is like our Latino Leadership Development 101.
Right.
And it was all men. And all the Latinas joined and decided to develop their own Latina colectiva and have their own national conference.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. That's
so
hilarious.
We learned how to have conferences and bring national experts.
And this is when you were a student at Stanford.
The Chicano Power Days.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1973.
I love it.
And
I love it.
That was what I loved. And it was, I met the first 50 Chicano students that got into Stanford were the seniors when I started. And
wow.
some of them became master's students or law students. And I wouldn't call it a typical school.
That's awesome.
There was no exam.
But, that's right. But obviously you had this great resource. You learned a lot. You made some good connections.
And I was
people
always
that
interested.
You stayed,
oh, wait,
in touch.
I have to say, okay.
Yeah.
I came to Washington, D.C. as a Stanford and government intern.
What year was that when you were in school? Was it your sophomore year?
Junior year.
Junior year. Oh,
after
your junior year.
After my junior year.
Okay.
So I went back to Stanford and said, I'm not finishing that pre-med. I want to get that diploma and go to public health. And I wanted to come back to Washington.
Yeah.
And I figured it would take me 20 years to get here. And it did. But
here you are.
But
I love it.
I thought you had to be an expert and like publish and.
Oh, and,
but
okay.
I didn't.
Yeah, no.
What I ended up doing was following what I wanted to do. And that was to help students mentor the next generation.
And that's what you keep
that's
doing now.
Doing.
So I love it. So. Dr. Elena Rios, again, a big fan. Thank you so much for spending some time with Chili on the Purple Line podcast. God bless. And I love to see what you're doing with the next 20 years, dear.
Well, thank you very much. And congratulations
on
everything.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Purple Line. Follow us on social media at the Chili at T-H-E-C-H-L-I. Thank you for joining us on the Purple Line.